Good morning. Welcome to Bethesda Church. We're so glad that you could join with us as we worship the Lord and learn from the Word this morning. Our scriptural call to worship is taken from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. If you're able to take your Bible and to turn with us there, we can read that together. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Things into which angels long to look. Whoever loves God. If I chose one thing atop my list of concerns, frustrations, and disappointments during this time of COVID-19, it'd be the disconnect between what the Bible says about how true Christians and true churches think, speak, and act, and how too many Christians and churches these days have been thinking, speaking, and acting. To put an intentionally finer point on it, I've been concerned, frustrated, and disappointed. So many Christians and churches have been thinking, speaking, and acting more like mere Canadians or mere Americans, clamoring for our rights, than as biblical Christians. My honest sense is, if we lived in a place and at a time where and when it might actually cost us something to practice our biblical Christian faith, one of two things would happen. First, there would be a lot fewer of us. Because many, perhaps most, of the brave folks pretending to stand up to constitutional democratic governments they know will not kill them or hurt them or throw them in jail, they might well find the Christian life a bit too costly. Or, more hopefully, we'd carry on in true and persevering faith, realizing these light and momentary matters of hand washing, mask wearing, physical distancing, and even assembling while apart will fade into trivialities, and those offended by them will be rendered mute. We Christians have almost entirely lost the ability to evaluate matters, to express values, and to truly grasp hold of the life and hope in Jesus Christ from a thoroughly biblical Christian point of view, which means, of course, from an eternal point of view. 6 to 12 months, 5 or 10 years, even a whole century are mere pittances in the light of eternity. I think we can illustrate and shed some light on this truth in just two biblical passages. The first is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what was written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, that is, passing away, temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. And because Shirley Mercer would be sorely disappointed in me otherwise, we must hear from Romans 8, verses 18 and 19. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed into us. For the creation waits, and so must we. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The headline from last Monday's Winnipeg Free Press declared, I'm quoting here now, faith and public health collide near Steinbeck. The subheading read, RCMP intervene as religious group flouts gathering restrictions once again. Friends, that's a bad day. And not only for the two churches mentioned in the article, that's a bad Sunday for all Christians in Manitoba. It's true their situations are distinct. However, they have at least one thing in common. Neither of them gave the province a chance to work with them. Thinking they knew better, they just did what they wanted, challenging the powers that be, and now the one has lost in court, potentially making it more difficult to get any relief going forward. On the whole, maybe we need to reconsider just what it was that Jesus was doing when he showed up on our scene in Bethlehem. Paul the Apostle, writing by the Holy Spirit in Philippians 2, put it this way, quoting here, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or clung to. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant by being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Friends, we are not at our best when we cling to our rights, or we are seen to be clinging to our rights given us by a worldly government, as wonderful and as cherished they may be. We know this without any doubt because the one being in or outside of the universe who could have claimed an absolute right to anything and everything didn't. We're at our best. We're at our most Christ-like when we're following him in this. The two most fundamental paths of Judeo-Christian faith have always been love the one true and living God with your whole being, love your neighbors as yourselves. This has been true from the beginning. It's true now. It will never change because God is love. Loving God, loving our neighbor, is the simplest, clearest, and most practical expression of true faith. It's our continuing biblical Christian mandate. It's the heart of the Christian gospel. And it's the profound meaning of both Christmas and cross. This is precisely how the passage concludes that Kate read earlier. Did we notice? Verse 21 of 1 John chapter 4. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. In this time of COVID, this fundamental truth might be paraphrased: whoever would be faithful to God must also be responsible to his brother, to her family, and to our community. We might also state it negatively: whoever doesn't love his brother or his sister also does not love God. Or perhaps even, whoever clings to his rights cannot also love God or his neighbor. I was interested how the larger community would respond to churches flouting, that was the Winnipeg Free Press's word, the provincial COVID-19 regulations to hold gatherings of one sort or another the last few Sundays. I read this letter to the editor when I was getting my car serviced on Wednesday. The churches in Monday's Winnipeg Free Press article, quote now, would be acting like good Christians if they would please stop having in-person religious gatherings. I can think of no better way of showing love for others and modeling Christ's love and compassion than by doing everything you can to stop the spread of COVID-19. Not being able to have in-person religious gatherings during the height of a global pandemic is not an infringement on religious rights and freedoms outlined in the Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms. It is a public health ordinance necessary to protect Manitobans. Religious institutions are not being singled out either. Nobody is saying you can't worship. You just need to change the way you worship, temporarily. I'm pretty sure both God and your congregations will understand. This is not forever. We will get back to the way things used to be. That's Shoshana Forrester Smith writing. Friends, it saddens me greatly, it concerns me terribly, and it frustrates me almost to no end when the general public exhibits more discernment and human compassion, who think, speak, and act more like Jesus than some of us who name the name of Christ. If we want to know how to respond these days, it's as simple as this: whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister. Or as Jesus himself put it, love God with your whole being and love your neighbor as yourself, for in this the whole law is fulfilled. It's also the whole of the biblical Christian eternal gospel of Jesus Christ. It's why Jesus came. It's why we worship in season or out of season. It's why we're here. Loving God and loving our brothers, sisters, neighbors, and in-laws may be as simple as washing our hands, wearing a mask, physical distancing, and yes, joining a live stream for a while. Let's pray together. God, our Father, these are difficult days to see where the boundary lines are between the legal and the spiritual, the right and the subtle wrong. Help us to be more than mere Canadians or more than mere Americans, more than mere nationalities, but help us to transcend those things to become biblical Christian disciples of Jesus Christ. You, being the Lord of glory, gave up your rights and humble yourself so that we might live. Help us, Lord, to do our part, to follow Jesus in this exact way. There may be a time for us to stand up and to be counted for something in court, according to the Constitution. But Lord, we also are contributing members to organizations that do that, the Four C's and the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. Help us in our place and in our time to follow Jesus humbly and to give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.